lose the hero. How do you expect to play ball when you can't run? She said, Dad, I got that all figured out. I got that all figured out. You taught it to me. Never look at what you have lost. Look at what you have left. Dad, you taught it to me. You said, turn your scars into stars. Dad, I have an offer. You know, I got arms left. I got a chest left. I got a leg left. And I'm going to build the muscles. And she got up every morning and she went to the fitness center and she built the most strongest muscles in the arm, forearm, shoulders, chest, and back. Because she said, Dad, here's my plan. I can't run. I'll never run. But when you hit home run, you don't have to run. Well, that's where I'm coming from. And I'm looking at people. And you remind me of my daughter. You got the spirit. Thank you very much.
Give Dr. Shula another wonderful round of applause for the wonderful work that he did in his peace to us. Back there! Long record. Next, a presentation will be made to Imam Muhammad by representatives of the Catholic group called Focalori. Focalori conceptually means warmth of the family coming together, sharing love. The Focaloris have many members here today. I wanted to point that out to you because they're very supportive of Imam Muhammad's work in America and abroad. Their leader, Shara Lubick, and her group have befriended our Imam and us, and we have also befriended them. So I call before you their spokesperson for today, Julian Ciabattini.
Salam alaikum. It is with sincere and deep joy that we are here today, this afternoon, with all of you to give the Luminosa Award to our dear brother, Imam Wahiddin Mohammed. The Luminosa Award is given to people who have done outstanding works for unity. You might ask, why an award for unity and not for something else, like science or philosophy? It is because the Focalori purpose from the very beginning has been to work and live for unity. At first, since the Focalori started in Italy, we thought we had to work for unity only among Catholics. But in the late 50s, we spread in Europe, and for the first time, we came in contact with Christians of different churches. Then, in the 60s, we spread further, reaching South and North America, Asia, and Africa. And in these continents, we met people of various faiths, mainly Jews, Muslims, Buddhists. And each time, in Germany or in the Cameroon, in Korea or in Argentina, whether we met a Lutheran or an Orthodox, a Jew or a Muslim, we would encounter the same reaction. We too need this life of love and of unity. In 1977, our founder and leader, Chiara Dopek, received the Templeton Prize for her work in promoting religion and fostering unity among all people. And in 1996, she received the UNESCO Prize for Peace Education. But then, in 1997, we have seen real miracles happening. I'm referring to our common history, a history that none of us would have dared to even dream just a year ago. But nothing is impossible for God. Back in 95, Natalia, one of Chiara's first companions, met Imam Mohammed in Copenhagen, Sweden, at a meeting of the World Conference of Religion for Peace. She then encouraged our people in Chicago to get in touch with him. And in the spring of 96, he paid a first visit to one of our Focolare houses in Chicago. It was a beautiful, fantastic evening. Then, last September, Imam Mohammed took time from the annual Islamic convention, which was held in White Plains, to come to visit Luminosa, our center in Hyde Park, upstate New York. It was my first encounter with him, and I was so impressed and touched by his humility, his openness and warmth and depth of heart. When they left Luminosa at the time, we all felt a longing to meet again, but we didn't know when it would happen. But God knew. And we didn't have to wait too long though, because a few weeks later, Imam Mohammed was in Rome with Cardinal Keeler and others to meet with Jean-Paul II. And myself and Sherry as well happened to be in Rome the same time. At the end of the week, Imam and the others came to visit our international centers near Rome, Castel Gandolfo. And on that occasion, he heard of Chiara's Lubeck planned trip to New York for May 97. So he invited her to speak at the historic Markon Shabbat Mosque in Harlem. Chiara was very happy for the invitation and said yes immediately. And May 18th, for all those who were there may remember, it was indeed and will remain for all of us an unforgettable historical day. And now, August 31st. The Luminous Award is being presented to Imam Mohammed. I would like to take two quotes from Dr. Borelli's presentation of Imam WD at the ceremony of August 17th in Luminosa. These two quotes express some of the reason for the award. Dr. Borelli, by the way, is the director for interreligious dialogue in the National Conference of Catholic Bishops. The first quote says, "Kindness, gentleness, sincerity, compassion, friendliness, These are the words that come to my mind when I think of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. And the second quote, we are truly grateful that through his teachings and actions, Imam Muhammad has been an example to us and with us in manifesting our unity. Yes, we agree. Imam Muhammad does live for unity and therefore deserves to receive the Luminosa Award.
That dialogue means to know one another, that it has to be a mutual gift, and moreover, that we need to live what we believe and share the experiences of this life. Now, this is exactly what has been happening since that blessed day at Malcolm Shabazz Mosque. Even now, as I look at this beautiful crowd, I see so many faces of people whom we know and with whom we want to continue to work. And I want to tell you, Imam Muhammad, that the whole Focolare family all over the world knows you and carries you in their hearts. And for herself would have been here today if it was not that she is in Europe right now. But since she could not be here, she wants to send you her warmest greetings and also her congratulations. And together with it, a small videotape message for you on this special day. So we can see it now.
Mi rivolgo a lei anzitutto con un grande cordiale saluto.
Dear Imam Muhammad, first of all, I want to extend to you my warmest greetings.
E le mie più sentite congratulazioni per il premio Luminosa che oggi le viene assegnato.
And my sincere congratulations for the Luminosa Award, which is being conferred on you today.
E insieme a lei voglio assicurare tutti i partecipanti alla cerimonia che sono venuti con lei alla nostra cittadella.
And I want to assure you and all those who have come with you to our little town to participate in this ceremony.
E i membri del movimento dei Focolari.
As well as the members of the Focolari movement.
Che mi sento vivamente presente fra di loro.
That I feel truly present there with you.
E come potrebbe essere altrimenti dopo i magnifici giorni passati a maggio a New York?
And how could it be otherwise after the magnificent days I spent in New York this past May?
A lei, Imam Mohammed, va il mio vivo ringraziamento.
Imam Mohammed, you have my heartfelt thanks.
Per aver reso possibile quell'incontro del 18 maggio ad Harlem.
For having made possible that meeting in Harlem on May 18th.
Che ha segnato una tappa storica nella comprensione fra musulmani e cristiani.
Which was an historic milestone for Muslim-Christian understanding.
E non soltanto negli Stati Uniti.
And not only for the United States.
Vorrei ringraziarla anche a nome delle centinaia di membri del movimento che, conosciuta la cosa, mi hanno scritto da ogni parte del mondo.
In fact, I would also like to thank you on behalf of hundreds of members of the Focolare movement all over the world, who, when they heard about it, wrote to me.
Perché l'incontro alla moschea Malcolm Shabazz ha suscitato gioia e speranza dovunque.
Because the meeting at Malcolm Shabazz Mosque has given joy and hope to people everywhere.
In Israele, tra i nostri amici musulmani ed ebrei.
In Israel, among our Muslim and Jewish friends.
Nel Pakistan.
In Pakistan.
Nelle Filippine.
In the Philippines.
In Argentina.
In Argentina.
In Africa.
In Africa.
In Europa.
And in Europe.
Dovunque è giunta la notizia del nostro incontro,
it seems that in all the places where news of our meeting has arrived,
sembra si siano sprigionate nuove energie per sviluppare dialogo e collaborazione.
New energies have been unleashed for developing dialogue and collaboration.
L'unica ragione per spiegare tutto questo,
there can be only one explanation for all this,
è che abbiamo solo cercato di obbedire alla volontà di Dio,
and that is that we have simply tried to obey God's will,
e di vivere secondo il suo cuore,
and to live according to God's heart.
Come mi ha scritto una popolarina musulmana citando il Corano,
a Muslim popolarina wrote to me quoting the Quran,
quelli che credono sono quelli che mettono l'amore di Dio sopra ogni amore,
which says those who believe love God more than anything else.
Questo sarà, lei scrive, il credo del terzo millennio.
She wrote that the creed for the third millennium will be
amore di Dio e di tutti i suoi figli,
love for God, love for all God's children.
Sì, carissimo fratello Mohammed.
Yes, my dear brother Mohammed.
Il patto che abbiamo fatto nella moschea Malcolm Shabazz,
the pact we made in Malcolm Shabazz Mosque,
e che oggi voglio rinnovare con lei,
and which I want to renew with you today,
spinge noi e migliaia di persone con noi,
is urging us and thousands of others with us,
a impegnare tutte le nostre forze e le nostre stesse vite,
to commit all our energies and indeed our very lives,
per fare di noi un'unica famiglia,
to becoming one family,
e preparare l'avvento di un mondo rinnovato dall'amore,
and to preparing the way for a world renewed by love.
Le auguro di tutto cuore,
what I wish for you with all my heart,
che con l'aiuto di Dio tutte le sue iniziative possano avere successo,
is that with the help of God all your undertakings can be successful,
e unisco all'augurio la mia preghiera e quella di tutto il movimento dei focolari,
and to this wish I add my prayers and those of the whole focolari movement. So much that I would like to share with you that I've experienced from a spiritual friendship with the movement, the worldwide movement called Focolare. I received a book on the life history of their leader, Pierre Lubick, and how she was a young lady, in fact, we would say a girl, during the wartime, World War II, and how she looked at all of that misery and wanted to respond to all that misery in a way that would help her and her religious community and the whole community of human beings on this earth. And it's really a marvelous history that touches your soul. And these people we call the Focolare people, they are true representatives of the love that God wants in all of us so that we can have peace, security, and progress for all of us on this planet. I wish I could share more with you. I want to send that message to the president, to the leader of the Focolare movement, that I have had that experience, and I wish for more opportunity for them to meet more of us so that all of us may have this very special opportunity to witness real Christian love and work for unity and peace. Thank you. That was a great, great effort, and it's a great choice to give our leading man Muhammad the Luminosa Award. Next, we're going to call back
to the podium, Dr. Shuler, who is going to introduce our leader, Imam Mehdi Muhammad. Dr. Shuler.
It was a momentous day for me when I first met personally with Brother W.D. Muhammad on November 26, 1996, in my office on the campus of the Crystal Cathedral. A meeting brought about through the good efforts of William Baker, founder and president of CAM, Christians and Muslims for Peace. And I was aware that Brother Muhammad was the son of the late Elijah Muhammad, founder of the Nation of Islam, and a close personal friend of Malcolm X Shabazz. I was also aware of his constant efforts to promote peace and tolerance between and among all those believers who are submitted and committed to the one God of all men and nations. I was impressed with Imam W.D. Muhammad's tireless efforts to educate the American people to the fact that more than 2 million African Americans practice the true teachings and tenets of Islam. I was impressed to learn of the very high stature and degree of respect which is held by some of America's primary political leaders, including my friends, Senator Paul Simon and Orrin Hatch, as well as the President of the United States. Imam W.D. Muhammad is a man recognized around the world as a sincere spokesman for Islam and has been the recipient of numerous awards, such as the Gold Medal of Recognition presented by President Mubarak of Egypt. He is known as a friend to some of this century's most important people, including Nelson Mandela of South Africa and America's own national treasure, Muhammad Ali. Perhaps most important of all, I am impressed with the absolute commitment to peace and unity, as referred in such newspapers as the Chicago Sun-Times, which headlined, quote, "True image of Islam offered in quiet style." And the South Suburban Star's headline, "Muhammad's message, conciliation." I know he is an author of many publications, as well as hosting a nationally syndicated television program, and is heard weekly on numerous radio stations across America and several foreign countries. It is indeed my honor to claim that he is my friend. And a personal pleasure for me to introduce to you now one of the great spiritual leaders of the world and America, Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. It's a wonderful day. Praise be to Allah. We praise God, the God of us all, the one Lord Creator, who made everything and cares about all of His creatures, about all human beings. We witness that God is one, and we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, God's servant, and His messenger. And we also witness, as our prophet required it, when persons were converting to Islam 1400 and more years and some years ago, we also witness and believe that Jesus Christ is God's servant, and his messenger. And we also believe of his mother, that his mother was a pure woman, and she conceived without a human mortal, male, that God created her son out of her, a pure woman, a woman who's raised according to Islam, a woman who's raised up above all the women of the world. An address on the state of Muslims for this Islamic convention in Secaucus, New Jersey, would have to include a very serious interest in the spiritual state of all people. And that is why we are very comfortable sharing this platform with a very powerful and popular personality, a servant of God, a Christian, Dr. Robert A. Shuler. And again, the same explains why we're so at home with our very honorable guests, the representatives and members of the folkloric movement. What is Islam? The Prophet was asked that question, and his reply was, Islam is to believe in God, to believe in God, to witness that there is one God. And he said, Islam is to pray to that God. And he said, Islam is to give in charity. And he said, Islam is to fast the month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was revealed to Muhammad 14 centuries and some years ago. And he said that Islam is to visit the house. The house is the house built by Prophet Abraham upon the prophets be peace, and his son, who's also a prophet, called Ishmael in the Bible, Ismail in Arabic language. Ibrahim, the prophets Ibrahim and Ismail, built that house. It was a house built for the worship of God, the one God, a house built for all people. Allah says in our holy book that it is a house, Buniya Linnas, built for all people. Buniya Linnas. That house was not built for blacks or for whites or for reds or for brown. The house was built for humanity, for all people. The house wasn't built for Muslims as such. The house was built for all people. It is a sign, it is a house that serves the human life of all people. God says, any person, any human being, the Nas, and Nas, the people at large, will find in that house great benefits. And it is a place of security and peace. Security and peace. This is our religion. Our religion doesn't say that all this started for a particular people. It started for all people. For all people. And God says of the Quran that it is not the guidance for one people. It is hudan linnas. It is guidance for all the people. And I'm only using these Arabic terms for the those who speak Arabic and know Arabic in the audience. And we do have some. And usually those who speak Arabic and know Arabic in my audience are those that are quick to misinterpret what I say. So that's why I use some Arabic also. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. I think it's a language barrier or something. For all people, here we turn toward in a direction in prayer, seeing in our view, mentally, often we visit the area, physically, a simple little one-cubicle building that used to house many idols, many gods of the pagans that they made an idol in form out of clay, wood, or whatever, stone. But now it is clear and empty. As Abraham cleared the house of false gods, our prophet Muhammad cleared that house of all the false gods that the pagan Arabs had put into that house. So now, there's nothing on the inside. It's empty. It is an empty house. It's empty on the inside. Only air is in there. It's empty on the inside. And it's a small cubicle place, a small cubicle that we call the home. It translated the house, but actually, ask any Arabic-speaking person, what does bayt mean? He say home. El bayt, the home. And home in English touches us a little deeper than house. Anyone can have a house, but you have to make a home. We have to work on it, too. For all people, it says. And then God says in the Quran, I repeat, this is guidance for all people. Our holy book is guidance for all people. And the last chapter of our holy book reads, it's a prayer really for protection, for God's protection from the evil one, the Satan, and his evil subjects that obey him. They say, I seek refuge, a place of safety, with the Lord of all people. With the Lord of all people. Corrupt and mass. With the Lord of all people. So here is our holy book, beginning with these words. This is guidance for sure. It is guidance for sure. For any who will respect God, who reverence God, for any who reverence God. And it goes on to say, give other characteristics of this particular type of person, and I find those characteristics in good Christians, and in good Jews, too. And in the text of the Quran, more than once, in the second chapter of the Quran, this is guidance and more than one. This is guidance for all people. Hudan linnas. Hudan linnas wa bayyinat min al-huda wal-furqan. I gave it all for those who speak Arabic. Or who read the Quran in Arabic. So how can we have a State of the Muslim address without including in that address a very serious interest in the spiritual state and our spiritual condition of all people? Muslim-Christian relations began, as I see it, with Prophet Muhammad and his time of trial and suffering, 14 centuries and almost 20 years ago. That time saw Muslims receiving political asylum. Political asylum, a place of refuge, a place of safety. From the Christian head of the country we know today to be Ethiopia. Ethiopia. Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace, sent a small group of followers as an envoy to seek refuge and protection from the murderous hands of the pagan Arabs of Mecca. When Allah missioned Muhammad the Prophet to be his servant and his messenger, a mercy to all the world, there were no people calling themselves Muslims on this earth. Remember that. I don't care what Minister Farrakhan tell you. Remember that. There were no people calling themselves Muslims on this earth. They didn't know that name. That began with the preaching of our Prophet Muhammad, that people started to call themselves Muslims. Now, we have to take that name seriously, because as Muslims we are told that every human being is Muslim. The word means wanting peace and wanting to be at peace. And we know that you can't have that peace until you find your peace with your God, with your Maker, with your Lord, with your Creator. So that's what the word is all about. But the one who accepts the peace with his God, he automatically then is in a condition to work for peace with his fellow man. So why we firstly see peace with God, automatically we accept that a Muslim is one who wants peace with other human beings. He wants peace with the order of creation that God made. He doesn't want to be an enemy of God's works. Handiwork, son, it's called in the Bible, I think. He doesn't want to be an enemy of God's handiwork. He wants to be the friend. He wants to be at peace with God's handiwork, the whole creation, everything in the heavens and everything on earth. This is a Muslim. This is what Muslim means. Now, if Muslim is the identity that is inherent or in everybody, us and everybody, then we can understand why God doesn't address us all the time Muslim, 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 but he addressed us all the time believers, believers, believers. How many times have you read the Quran, any part of it, where God says, "Oh Muslims"? Very, very rare. But God says, "Oh believers." The Quran, with the message of Quran, he wants us to know that he has believers in heaven who were Christians, who were Jews, and who were others. They're in heaven, and he showed it to our prophet. He showed our prophet to heaven, and our prophet said he saw Christians and Jews in heaven. Peace and the blessings be on him. Praise be to Allah. So he sent a group of followers to get help from Christians. This is the beginning of our knowledge of how Muslims should have good, friendly, brotherly ties with Christians. Here is a persecuted following, very small. The Prophet only had a very small number of believers with him at that time. Seeking, in fact, they were sent by him. He sent them to Ethiopia, called at that time the land of the Habashis. He sent them to Ethiopia to get protection from the pagans, pagan Arabs. Or Arab pagans, I don't know how to put that. I think I should say pagan Arabs. I want to soften it, because they're still Arabs, and some of them want to be pagan. I'll soften it. Pagan Arabs. Yes. And what happened? Let us continue. They were seeking protection from the murderous hands of the pagan Arabs of Mecca, the native city, native town where our prophet was born. They shared with the Christian head of the state the Quranic readings on the person of Christ Jesus, upon him be peace, and on the person of the Virgin Mother, Mary, upon her be peace. What they read from the Quran convinced this Christian head of state of their innocence, whereupon he granted them political asylum, a safe place out of the reach of their pagan enemies. I choose to build upon this earliest record as a first lesson for Muslims in dialogue and in peace building with Christians. We must build upon that first lesson. We must not go to the Christians telling them what we have in different, what we have in, as our differences. We must go to them as that envoy went to them, stressing what we have in common, what we have that's the same. Islam 2000 is the title of a book authored by Murad Hoffman. Murad is a Muslim name, Murad Hoffman, and published by Amana Publications in Belleville, Maryland. I'm sure many of you, as all of our leaders, I'm sure you know about Amana Publications in Maryland, a big facility there that's doing a great job of printing, making possible the publication of many good books on Islam and on the image of Muslims to correct the false idea that we have in the air about Muslims as terrorists and as bad people. How to Abort, chapter 6 of his book, has this title, How to Avoid Catastrophe and Serve Islam. Now I quote this book from that chapter. We should be appreciative of any effort and serve Islam. We should be appreciative of any effort to stem the new tide of national or cultural chauvinism. National or cultural chauvinism. Now here is an author that represents many others, imams, scholars, lecturers in Islam, writers in Islam, who believe that the great problem for us as Muslims when it comes to really knowing our own identity correctly is the confusion that comes into our religion from our past, from our traditions, cultural traditions, from our nationalism, etc. And the same is the problem for our relationship with non-Muslims. They see not so much of our religion all the time. They see our customs that are really in conflict with our religion. They see our racial dress. They see our cultural dress. They see our nationalism. And they take that to be Islam because we think now it's Islam. We have gotten off track. We have lost ourselves. We think that's Islam too. So we show them something that we have fabricated, that we have put over ourselves like a shroud holding covering the real person beneath the shroud. And we show that to the world and we say that's Islam, and it's not. Allahu Akbar. This author goes on to say, the Pope and high clergy of the Protestant churches now make a point of addressing the Muslim community every year at the end of Ramadan with frequent messages. And the Muslims frequently reciprocate with invitations to the Christians to visit Muslim mosques. This is a new day. In Washington, D.C. recently, during the Ramadan, the First Lady, Miss Hillary Clinton, visited with our Muslims during the time of Ramadan.